Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the
Rise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. Good to be with you on this Wednesday morning, one of our busiest days of the week. I trust that you're doing very well. We're going to be running over to Kerm Radio in about an hour and a half. We'll be heading out there, and then we'll be broadcasting at 11 o'clock Central Standard Time, and then our life study this evening. However, weather is going wacky. Once again, throughout the United States of America, the storms, the floodings, everything that is happening with these massive tornadoes, it has been more extensive than I think any other time, at least in the last 10 years since we've been in the Midwest. I've never seen the level of tornadic activity and flooding and wind damage and violence to people's lives. My God, this is just not good. And somebody would step back and wonder, what is going on? You know, is there a change in the weather patterns? Has it always been this way? Well, regardless, there are people that overnight have lost everything that they have. Once again, right here in Arkansas, there are several churches and charities that are out and about getting ready to feed over 50,000 people today to help them along the way and deal with and cope with what they have just lost overnight. There are rivers that are at the stage of overflow and dangerous down in Dardanelle, Arkansas. For the first time in 75 years, they're saying they are in more flood at flood risk than ever before. And these are just little captions, you know, I'm picking up watching the Weather Channel, and you know, I turn the news on, and it's so about Comey again and all that stuff. And I wonder, you know, what is it that everybody is, tuned into? And I want to share one other thing before we get rolling here today. About an article that I heard yesterday and then on television this morning, again, sweeping the news reports, the reality of people that are in the high percentages, we're talking in high 60s, 70s percent of young people, old people, that are struggling with their cell phones or their computers or their iPads, whatever they have, those devices. They're saying over 70% of kids are going to bed every night bringing their cell phones or their devices to bed with them, and then during the night checking out the social media, what's going on. And doctors are now saying in this professional report that the sleep epidemic or the lack thereof is connected to this, and the adults are not doing any better, that they're all sleeping with this device within hand's reach. And they're up in the middle of the night themselves. You know, that little news blast comes in, the Fox News swoosh, you know, some news alert, et cetera, et cetera. And they're really now coming out talking about concerning the – yeah, it's on, babe. It's on there. The medical side of this issue. So, again, just something that we are all looking at and making sure that we're not being taken over by technology. But before I go any further today is Daniel's second day. That's what I like to call Wednesday. So right now, without further ado, I want to invite the young man to join us on the air today, all the way from Australia. Good morning, Daniel. How are you this morning?
Very tired, but I'm feeling much better talking to you.
Well, you know, and that's free. That doesn't cost anything.
I'm glad.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, it's so good to hear your voice today. I know, again, if you're watching, you know, the news around the world, all the stuff, you know, it never ends. You never run out of material, which is interesting. We wish we would, right, Daniel?
Yes, absolutely. But I don't think that's ever going to happen.
Yeah, we would like to just get up and enjoy a nice, you know, a year of no problems. Everything is harmonious and everything's okay. And I think in Christ Jesus, every one of us could have those moments of peace, regardless of the storm raging around us, and really learn to walk in the Spirit. And that would be a tremendous life. But the fact is, all around us, we have swirling problems, major problems going on, from anti-Semitism to Christian persecution to weather gone wild and all kinds of other things. So I know you're tired, but what is on, you know, the primary thought of your heart this morning?
Well, there's a number of different things that we could talk about. But one thing that I think is of particular interest that I think should be discussed is talking about the Equality Act that is, which is more than likely going to be passed by the House of Representatives and will then go on to the Senate. This is a very, very worrying development. It basically will, the Equality Act essentially seeks the federal persecution of Christians. There's no other way to put it, but to put it that way. It's really that nefarious. So at the moment, it's looking like it will pass the House and will move to the Senate. And the White House, which is a house divided at the moment, has criticized the bill, but has not threatened to veto it, which is a worrying sign. So this basically will do a number of different things. I mean, the first thing that it will do will force everybody to lie. It'll force society to lie. So you'd have to tell innocent children that they have two daddies when they do not, and then confuse teenagers that they are girls when they are boys. You'll be forced to tell miserable and suicidal homosexuals that their unhappiness derives from external homophobia. You know, it will be a bill that will be where everybody will be forced to toe the leftist narrative on the LGBT and transgender insanity. This is where the government becomes weaponized to seek out all dissenters to this agenda. And that is a major, major concern. And it basically opens up libel. It opens up defamation and a whole different Pandora's box of lawsuits based on discrimination, if anyone dares to stand up against it. So it's really quite a major concern.
Okay, so if there is somebody like myself that we've been so busy looking at everything else going around, and this is the first time I'm hearing about the Equality Act, who is authoring this? Obviously, with what you just said, it has to do with the LGBTQ community that's out there. And where is this? Is it, you said it's on the House floor, it's in the Senate. Where is this at right now?
Well, really, it's the Democrats in Congress are the ones who have been pushing it. So this is it's basically gone from the it's been passed out of the committee that in which the they've discussed the bill and have written everything into it that they need to write into it, and now the Democrats are now going to get this thing passed because they do have, unfortunately, they do have the numbers in the House, but it should be shot down in the Senate. But it's still, I mean, this is it's a major concern, the fact that this kind of bill has been drafted, and if the Senate is able to even knock it down this time around, it's just a matter of time before the Democrats will be in a position where they will be able to pass this through. But if they do, once they do pass it through, and I'm not exaggerating when I say this, but basically this legislation is what critics would say would criminalize Christianity and Judaism, essentially. And forcing virtually every institution in society, including religious institutions, to hire, serve, and promote homosexuals and individuals confused about their gender. So a number of analysts have warned that by enshrining sexual orientation into the statute, that even pedophilia and pederasty could be protected. So these are just some of the poison pills that are in this legislation, and I would encourage all Americans to contact your congressman, get in contact with your senators, and do what you can to put a stop to this, because this thing needs to be stopped in its tracks. Because if this ever becomes law, if this ever is passed, it will really essentially, it'll be lights out for civil liberties in America.
Well, it sounds like a major problem. If I may just add into that for a moment, there's a little article up here from the Center for Arizona Policy where it gets as direct as you've been going in the same direction. The Equality Act sounds like a great bill, they say. Who would be against equality? But it's not really about equality. The Equality Act is really about using the full weight of the federal government to impose the ever-evolving sexual revolution on the American people under threat of punishment or loss of federal funds. So it looks like this is probably moving in the direction of threatening churches, the fundamental freedoms of speech and religion, right? So, And this is one of those silent bills where we're all talking about James Comey and we're looking at the weather. And here you have these little things going on that, you know, people like myself were not aware of. Thank you for bringing this out. What else is there?
Well, basically, to get it down into the more of a nitty gritty of it, it purports to prohibit discrimination on the basis of sex, gender identity, and sexual orientation. And to do that, it would enshrine actual or perceived sexual orientation or gender identity into federal statutes. That's a major worry. And again, that's another nail in the coffin for America. I mean, you know, the fact that passing gay marriage was bad enough, if this thing ever gets enshrined into law, again, it will be another death warrant upon the United States. God's judgment will only be exacerbated by these steps. So it would give homosexuality, transgenderism, and other perversions of human sexuality and gender the same protections as race or sex and employment, housing, public accommodations, and more. And incredibly, this legislation specifically states that religious freedom may not be used as a defense under the bill. So you cannot use religious freedom. In other words, the First Amendment has officially been shot down into flames. This is an assault of, on the First Amendment, and it applies to churches, religious schools, religious hospitals, religious employees, gathering places, sports, or government entities, and more. So even Christian adoption agencies will be shut down too. And if they refuse to place children with homosexuals or individuals confused about whether they are or men or women. So churches, synagogues will no longer be able to uphold marriage between men and women or any moral standards on sexuality at all. So this is the grave nature of this particular threat that this poses. And again, a lot of Americans didn't even know that this was actually going on. But this is what the Democrats have been working on behind the scenes, and they're trying to get this thing passed without making too much of a fuss.
And I guess the whole idea behind it is, you know, this is civil liberty. Every human being deserves to be respected and honored. And the homosexual community wants to live out loud and up close in the face of society. And they no longer want to be looked upon as being awkward or not permissible. And this flies directly in the face of Almighty God again. And that's going to be our position here.
Yeah.
The Word of God, the violation of the laws of human nature, the laws of nature, the laws of nature's God, the laws of Yahweh, the laws of our Father in Jesus Christ, our Lord. I mean, these laws are the defiant acts of rebellion in the human heart that are giving place to a beast kind of mentality around the world. Is that close?
Yeah, absolutely. And it really, it's getting to the point where the Constitution can no longer hold back the wickedness of this of American society. You know, you might remember what John Adams said when he said that, you know, our Constitution was made for a moral and for a godly and moral people. It is wholly inadequate for the people of any other. So when you consider that the Constitution was intended for a moral people, it's completely incompatible with an immoral people. Mm-hmm. Hence why the Democrats are so hell-bent in destroying the Constitution. They want to get rid of the First Amendment. They want to get rid of the Second Amendment. You know, they want to disarm Americans. As you know, there's all these gun control bills that are going on all over the country. They want to completely disarm America because they want to basically bring in a communist state. That really essentially is what they want. They want 100% power. And this also coincides with their efforts to do away with the Electoral College. So basically, essentially, California alone, actually you could even say Los Angeles, the district of Los Angeles, would basically call the presidential election. The city of Los Angeles will call the election over all of the other rural states across America. This is the problem that this poses, because the Electoral College was to give an equal representation among the states. This is why America is a republic and not a democracy. It's a constitutional republic. And this is why it's so important for people to understand this, because it gives equal voice to the people. Equal voice to the people, so everybody has a say, and that everybody's vote matters. Everybody's vote counts. And if you remove the Electoral College, the presidential elections will be decided by New York and Los Angeles, and all the big liberal cities will have their say. And the little guy, you know, the guy out, you know, living out in Arkansas, has no say in the matter. No matter how they vote, it's not going to matter. The big cities will decide the president, which essentially means that America will, from that moment on, be a one-party state. Think about that. I mean, this is the how serious this matter is. And at the moment, there are approximately 15, I think there's about 15 states that have already passed legislation that will pass all their votes onto the elector, onto the which will essentially mean that it will go to the majority, the popular vote. So there's already 15 states that have already signed on to this, which is a major concern.
Yeah, you know, Daniel, the aggressive nature of the LGBTQ, I call it the BLT, I don't know what to call it anymore, but the aggressive...
The alphabet mob.
Yeah, their aggressive nature, if there were time, 5 years, 10 years down the road, I mean, somebody has to step back and say, okay, what does the world look like? What does our society look like 5 years from now, 10 years from now, if this Equality Act passes? And with the aggressive nature, and we know that it is a very aggressive, well-oiled machine, if you will, how the homosexual community has advanced its cause and its agenda into the societal forefront of things. In our generation. So what does it look like? I mean, I foresee where this goes is every church in the United States of America that has a 501c3 is going to be sitting down with married men and married women and adopted families and heterosexuals and homosexuals and lesbians all together under the banner of Jesus Christ. And everybody's going without, crying out against the crime of sin in the abomination of these actions. Schools, the teachers will be in positions of power. Government will eventually be in positions of power with a sodomite, mindset. And, before you know it, I mean, like an encroachment that's invisible at the beginning, all of a sudden it grows up around you and you're ensnared by it. And what does that mean for Christians living in such an environment? And this is just, this tiny little issue compared to all the other issues going on around the world. Where does this actually lead? Where does this take us?
Well, here's the thing. The social justice activists, their whole goal is not justice. Social justice activists are not after justice. What they are after is revenge. This is the revenge of the collective rage of wicked people. The revenge of the collective rage of wicked people. This is essentially what it is. 2 years ago, Rolling Stone did an interview with an LGBT donor. Now, his name is Tim Gill. He's a massive mega donor to LGBT causes. He's a multi-millionaire, and he made it all on information technology. Now, he, in the interview with Rolling Stone, he says, we're going into the hardest states in the country. And then he said, so basically he was asked what's going to happen after the marriage equality is done and what's going to happen once they get their way in America. And he says, we're going to punish the wicked. In other words, what he's saying, when he says punish the wicked, he says he's going to go after gay marriage opponents. So these people, they don't want justice, they want revenge. It's going to be all-out war against the church. And they're gearing up for it, and they're preparing for it, and they're disciplining themselves, they're getting up early, they're strategizing, they're planning. They want to declare all-out war against the church. And of course, the Marxists behind this couldn't be happier. They could not be happier because the whole LGBT movement is a movement that destroys goes after two institutions. It goes after, first of all, the church, which what we've been talking about. Their agenda is to destroy the church, to go after Christianity. But here's the other thing that it does, which is a manna from heaven to the socialist, to the Marxist. The second thing that they're going after is the family. And this is why the whole LGBT movement is a brainchild. It's an absolute manna from heaven to the left, because it destroys the very two institutions that are holding back a socialist revolution, and that's the church, the institution of the church, and this is also, and the institution of the family. So this is a this is where we are heading at the moment, and it pays to actually understand their agenda. I mean, it's extremely important to know why these people want to do what they're doing. So Karl Marx, in his book, A Communist Manifesto, he basically said that he wanted to bring down capitalism. Well, actually, what he did say was is that his one goal in life was to destroy, dethrone God and to destroy capitalism. But one of the other things that I felt was pretty interesting is that he wanted to destroy the family. Now, there is a very interesting article that's actually appeared on a very old magazine website called The Nation. And there's a feminist called Rosemary Ho, and she writes this article. She says, you want to dismantle capitalism, with a question mark? Then you must abolish the family, she says. So it says, feminist theorist Sophie Lewis's new book looks on how rethinking pregnancy and the idea of family as forms of labor is central to emancipatory politics. So essentially what this woman wants to do, I'll just read the first paragraph. It says, arguably the most infamous demand of the Communist Manifesto is the abolition of the family. The family, Marx and Engels noted, was where patriarchy and capitalism worked in tandem to produce willing, alienated workers, where women became little more than instruments of production for the men who lorded over them. Radical queer politics in the 1960s and 70s added to their critique of the bourgeoisie family when activists challenged the heteronormativity of family relations. That demand, however, has since almost completely vanished from the leftist imaginary. So basically, what this woman does, she's written a book, and it's called Full Surrogacy Now, Feminism Against Family. And so she specifically links family abolition to a radical reconceptualization of pregnancy itself. The act of carrying a child to term, she insists, is work, labor that has long been exploited and overlooked by the academy, and so is mothering. I mean, this just gives you an idea just at the depth of the radicalism of these people. These people are not just redefining family, they are redefining reality itself. And this just goes to show that G.K. Chesterton was right when he said, when man ceases to believe in God, it's not that they then believe in nothing, it's that they then believe in anything.
Wow. Daniel, you're bringing up some amazing points, and I want to just throw out a few kind of statement questions along the way here. Are we witnessing, number one, my question, the rise of this kind of blatant, in-your-face evil because of the years of ignorance, whether willingly or unwillingly, within our nation, where we just kind of took the lap of luxury, the church kind of came down off the wall, there were no longer any watchmen. We enjoyed financial prosperity and wealth and limelights and big stages and mega churches. And in order to have those, you had to compromise the message of the gospel. And therefore, what we now see isn't just something that is just happening organically. It seems to me to be somewhat of a judgment. It seems to be, in fact, there's a man, maybe you know him. He's on HBO. He has a program, and I wouldn't recommend anybody watching it. I ran across this yesterday in my research. There's a man by the name of John Oliver who has a program called Last Week Tonight, And this John Oliver, I was shocked. And I grew up in Jersey City. I grew up, you know, I was a worldly guy like everybody else. But this guy's vitriol, his hatred, his detestation against the church, I mean, he'd lose some superlatives that made me blush with the F word and, you know, saying against the church, F the church. And, you know, he's on HBO. He's got an audience, a following.
Yeah.
And what you were talking about earlier about the disdain against the church of Jesus Christ. You know, we used to say that homosexuality was an abomination. That was a strong word. Well, the left and the progressives and those that are contrary to the church, they're loosing some cannons as well. This is a judgment, is it not, upon this country for our allowing these things to come into existence because we stopped being the moral compass of our nation? Or were we just standing in the gap and we were overwhelmed? How do you see that?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's a very good point. I mean, Francis Schaeffer said, our culture, society, government, and law are in the condition they are in, not because of a conspiracy, but because the church has forsaken its duty to be the salt of the culture. And boy, ain't that the truth? I mean,
well, it is.
I mean, at the end of the day, the white-anting of the church, the slow compromising of the church, the rotting away of the Christian pulpits all over America has taken its toll. And listen, this is not any particular it's not any particular reason. It's a whole gamut of different reasons why it's all happened. But essentially, if you could sum it up, the churches have become silent. They have no longer been the voice where they could stand up and say that sin is sin, which is a real shame. And essentially the church has lost its voice, and because the church has lost its voice, the world has lost its conscience.
Absolutely it has. Absolutely it has. Man, I was just distracted there for one moment by something you said, getting back to the church's responsibility for these days that we are living in, and how we basically have, you know, just allowed so much of these things to happen around us and about us. I don't know if we should move on to the next topic or not. I mean, we could stay on this for how long, Daniel, just talking about, you know, where this is all heading and how the Christian community, how the remnant, the remaining faithful Christian community. I did want to say this. Just came back to my memory, and I say this gently. You know, we've been prophesying for a very long time on radio and television, behind pulpits. We have been prophesying, and we've learned a lot along the way, and we've made a few mistakes along the way. But for the most part, when we began prophesying and warning this country, there were no legal statuses for men marrying men, women marrying women. You know, we did not see this in your face blasphemy that is now coming abroad everywhere. And the concern of these years of prophesying is that we are going in the exact direction that the prophecies have proclaimed. And it seems like we could only take so much more before the inevitable collapse happens. But there is an awakening right now. But Daniel, at the same time where there's an awakening, we have a divided church. A church that is basically divided on every issue, doctrinally, theologically, even over Israel. And you wonder, how can a divided church handle the weight of this, you know, stuff that is happening around us and about us? Where do you see an answer coming from?
Yeah, and that's the other thing that you really need to watch in these last days. And you will notice that there is a growing angst and anti-Israel sentiment that's festering at the moment, which is a major, major, major concern. you know, I was very disappointed to actually see yesterday. And on the just trying to think of his name. I think the whole True News did a episode, and on that particular episode, they were basically denouncing Christian Zionists, denouncing Christians who actually stand with Israel, and went to the extent that this particular fellow on air did an altar call and led the viewers in a prayer to repent from supporting Israel, to repent from standing with Israel. I just could not believe it. I just could not believe what I was watching. In fact, Dr. Michael Brown wrote an excellent article, which I actually had posted on my website on Israel, Islam, and End Times, where he basically gives a stern rebuke to True News over that, which is really, really sad, because I don't believe that they actually went in that direction when they first started out, but it's only in these last years when they've just really begun to show their true colors, in the sense that they have become, the vitriol that they have towards Israel is very, very disappointing. So that's a big disappointment in regard to that. But the other thing is that we are seeing anti-Semitism just rearing its head all over the place. Like the intensity of the anti-Semitism is really quite frightening. But then again, at the end of the day, this is something that we should not be surprised of. I'll just read you something. This is by a New York Times bestselling author, Andrew Roberts. This is from his book on Winston Churchill. And I'll just read a little excerpt from what he wrote. He said, Churchill understood something, which is why he was the only voice against Hitler from the very beginning. He understood that the anti-Jew is anti-human, and that there is no greater indicator of evil than anti-Semitism. It is the early warning signal for good people. Just know that the anti-Semite never ends with the Jews. They begin with the Jews, but they never end with the Jews. The non-Jews who dismissed Hitler as the Jews' problem, the people, like people, dismissed Hamas and Hezbollah as Israel's problem. They don't understand that they are next. Wow. I mean, that really is extraordinary. The fact that anti-Semitism really is the indicator of it's the early warning signal for good people. I mean, if you see, we're seeing anti-Semitism appearing in our society all around us. Also, too, Paul Johnson, who was a renowned historian, is probably one of the most prominent historians in the world. Paul Johnson said this. He said, wherever anti-Semitism took hold, social and political decline almost inevitably followed. And I would agree with that, but I would even go a step further and say that it could also be the other way around, that wherever social and political decline took hold, anti-Semitism will inevitably follow. And this is because when a people become more evil, when the people descend into the depths of the depravity of their hearts, they follow a natural inclination to follow the desires of the devil. And that's really important to understand. A completely debased heart will follow after the father of lies, will follow after the devil's agenda. And this is why, you know, Hitler, when he first started out, he wanted to be a very good politician, and he was a brilliant politician. But this is the thing, that this is a very interesting pattern that happened with Hitler, is that he grew into the monster that he became, because when he did his public speaking, he fed off the crowd. In other words, his political philosophy was one that fed off the momentum and the guidance from the mob. He listened to the mob. You know, when he stirred up the people into hysteria at his public speaking events, he fed off their grievances. That's what he fed off. He picked up their grievances, the grievances of the people. And the grievances of the people, they began to have grievances. And whenever, you know, a people that has divorced God from their society is always looking for a scapegoat. They're not going to take any responsibility for their own actions. They want to blame somebody else. And what no other better person to blame than the Jews. And so the Jews became a scapegoat. And so Hitler fed off that feedback from the crowd, and he built upon that, and he put it into his political platform. And this is why the Hitler became what he was, because he fed upon the debased values of the crowd. And so it really is interesting, because Hitler is a foreshadowing of the Antichrist that is to come, because the Antichrist that is to come will basically be the summation of all previous Antichrists that we've seen throughout history. So the Antichrist that is to come, Paul refers to him as a man of lawlessness. He will not have any respect for laws at all. He will be a law unto himself. But again, he will be the one who will appease the people. He will feed off the people, and he will his entire political platform will be based upon the feeding of the depravity and the from the feedback from the mob. And that is a terrifying prospect to behold.
Daniel, when we stand back and we just kind of contemplate or seek to interpret everything we're talking about today, I cannot help but hear the words of our Master, the Lord Jesus Christ, in Matthew chapter 7. And he said, therefore, and I'm going to just read out of verse 24, therefore, whosoever hears these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken unto him to be a wise man which built his house upon a rock, and the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that hears these teachings of mine and does them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew, beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Now, nationally speaking, here in the United States of America, we have been a people that have heard the word of God, the gospel, which was actually preached from our universities in times past. Well, we have shifted to a sandy foundation and the inevitable collapse, because, Daniel, the winds are blowing against this nation. The violence, whether it's racial violence, cultural violence, political violence, religious violence, there is violence that is rising. Winds are rising. The speed of the winds are increasing. And I mean, this is a reality. And the only thing I know to do for me and my house that will serve the Lord and to impart inspiration to anybody that's willing to hear is to obey the word of God. Do not get caught up and be deceived by the propaganda that is being put out every single moment of every single day. Keep your head buried in the word of God and be a doer of the word of God, so that when these storms make contact, we will be able to stand. What else is there that we can do at this time?
Well, you know, the Bible says over and over, when it's talking about the Babylon, the mystery Babylon, John is pleading, and the angel pleads, come out from her. Do not partake in her sins. Come out from her. Run. Flee from her. You know, and this really, people need to do what they can to unplug themselves from the system of Babylon, which is swallowing people up. I mean, it's interesting that you mentioned earlier, Pastor Vincent, about children taking their devices, their iPhones, their smartphones to bed with them. I mean, you know, the whole revolution of the smartphone, and more than that, the whole revolution of social media has become a job. Here's the thing about it. Now, there are pitfalls in regard to social media, but there are also incredible benefits in regard that come with social media. I mean, so with social, if you use social media correctly, it's a powerful voice in influencing people for good. Just recently, the activist mommy, her name is Elizabeth, I'm just trying to think of her surname, but she motivated over 50,000 people to call into a public library to force them to cancel drag queens from reading to children. So that was an incredible win in regard for her activism, and she was able to mobilize all those people via social media. So in that regard, social media can be a blessing. But here's the other side of it. The other side of it is that social media is causing an epidemic of people becoming woke. Do you know what I mean when I say woke? W-O-K-E.
Go ahead.
Yeah, well, basically, it's a street lingo. When you say woke, you are referring to somebody who has become awakened to politics.
Mm-hmm.
And in the majority of cases, when people become woke, they become awakened to leftism. They become awakened to the whole agenda of the left. And what social media has done is that it's caused many, many, many young people to become woke. And they have essentially gone from just being everyday normal teenagers or young people to becoming leftist activists. And this is one of the great dangers of what's happening. And this is only being exacerbated because Facebook and a lot of the other social media giants are censoring conservatives on a frightening – I mean, they're doing it so frequently now, it really is extraordinary just how brazen Facebook and YouTube and Google have become. I mean, Dr. Bill Warner said this, and I thought it was really interesting. He said that what these big tech are actually doing, they are essentially grooming America for the 2020 elections. That's what they're doing by banning conservatives, by shadow banning them, by blacklisting them, by deplatforming them. What they are essentially doing is grooming America for the 2020 elections.
And it leads, as you have said many times, to the dehumanization of Christian America. Let me say it again. I believe that globally around the world right now that there is a rise of Christian persecution. In fact, someone said that it's near genocidal proportions when you look at the Christian persecution going around the world. The true Jew who is in the earth today, who is the covenant people of Yahweh from the loins of Abraham, who many have turned to faith in Yeshua, their Messiah, you know, this is where the persecution is going to come. The Bible, in my understanding of it, is very clear. I have been to Israel. I have seen the Israeli people. There is a wonderful blessing with the Israeli people who worship. You know, you go on a Friday night at sunset and there's nobody out. They're honoring the Sabbath. And many, as I said, are in homes that are worshiping the Lord through the reconciliatory work of Jesus Christ, Yeshua, their Messiah. And so we're living in a volatile time. And Daniel, everything I hear you saying, I mean, there has to come a time where God's people need to stop talking about it, contemplating it. There will be a time where God will tell his people, come out of her, my people. And, you know, one of the very first challenges that I, you know, if I were ever to put the challenge out and do it myself first, you know, can we Christians living in the world today, knowing what we know, could we destroy our cell phones? Could we get rid of the cell phone? Just that. Start right there. Go no further. Can we get rid of it?
Mm.
You know, are we willing to disconnect, or will we be trapped and not able to come out because of the luxury of it, the convenience of it, the necessity of it, the usefulness of it? You know, are all those things the parameters that keep us involved? I'm not sure, but if we're as deep into this as we're hearing, eventually the salt and the light are going to have to give way. People are going to have to enter into their ark. Go ahead.
I think there will be a time. I think there will be a time when we will have no choice. You know, the Chinese mobile phone carrier, I think they call it Huawei or something, whatever it is. Trump basically has banned them and has not necessarily banned them, but I think what he's done, he's actually blocked off certain technology from them, from using certain technology, because this particular mobile carrier, the state of China has actually been using to spy on people and has a nefarious purpose behind it, which is really, really alarming. So, if that's just a matter of time, I mean, it's really, really worrying. I mean, technology is becoming more and more of a concern. You know, it's funny because I posted something up on Facebook yesterday. It was just I just said, my wife asked me why I spoke so softly in the house, and I said I was afraid Mark Zuckerberg was listening. And she laughed, and I laughed, and Alexa laughed, and Siri laughed.
Oh, my God. That's amazing. That is amazing. You know, I think you're right. I think everybody's got a divine paranoia going on right now, and I think there's something divine about being paranoid in the world we live in. So let me just put it this way and then give you the final thoughts. And I love the fact that our listeners are being educated once again by your calling to this nation and around the world to really separate these things. But here's what I'm hearing in my heart, Daniel. Babylon has a voice. Babylon has a message. Babylon has a sword. Babylon has a cup. And if I go backwards, the cup of Babylon is being put to the lips of all nations, including Christians in this world, the church. Babylon has a sword to enforce the message. Babylon has a message, and here it is. I am, and there is no other. And Babylon has a voice, and the voice is the world system, the news media, all of these different mechanisms. And Babylon is rising to a zenith of power never known before. And that's what the book of Revelation is all about. And we cannot drink of the cup. And she puts her cup to the lips of governments and kings and nations and religions and causes everybody, rich and small, small and great, right? And so what does the remnant do? The Christian, the individual that's living quietly in the earth before the Lord, to not allow themselves to come under this Babylonian influence, this intoxication. Her wine is red, right? And so we become intoxicated by her doctrine. And then before we know it, Daniel, we are losing ground in the economy of the kingdom of God. We don't want that to happen, because we know that in the last days, the majority of professors of Christ are going to fall away.
Yeah. I mean, we're already seeing it happening more and more. I mean, more and more denominations are falling prey to this. And even what I've noticed too, the Christian colleges. So many Christian colleges are becoming liberal. Like, it's really a concerning trend. You know, there was even a Christian college that refused to have Ben Shapiro to come and speak because it caused too much diversion. I mean, it's we're living in extraordinary times at the moment, and the great falling away is happening before our eyes. What I think is interesting that that I never thought that it would be the homosexuality that would be the key driver of that falling away. But then again, it does make sense because we are living in a Romans 1 generation. We're living in a Romans 1 society. And Jesus warned that our society would become the type of society that would precede his return will be exceedingly wicked. He said it will be just as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. So when you think of wickedness, if you think of an extreme wickedness, then of course it shouldn't surprise us that homosexuality, and not just homosexuality, I mean also the whole idea, I mean homosexuality challenges the role of sex, whereas transgenderism takes that rebellion one step further in rejecting their own core identity of who they are. So it really, they are taking rebellion against God to the most extremity as they possibly can. Now, here's the thing about that. The judgment on a nation would be severe for any nation that provokes God by that kind of rebellion. But here's the thing. It will be even more, the judgment will be even more severe for that nation that knew the truth, that once knew the truth. I mean, that is the key. The judgment will be absolutely overwhelming for that nation that not only is pursuing this wickedness and celebrating this wickedness, but the fact that they once knew the truth. I mean, that is, I mean, really, and this is why when you look at those three, I mean, we don't have much time to discuss this, but the second name written on that prostitute's forehead is the mother of harlots, the mother of all prostitutes. And prostitution, if you see it in the prophetic scriptures, it always means, it's always referring to a nation that once knew the truth and then turned her back. That's, it always is referring in that scenario. So it's sobering, but America's playing a very dangerous game. We need to pray that our friends and family, when the judgment hits, and it's not if it's going to hit, it's when it's going to hit, we need to pray for our family and friends that God will take care of us and will protect us during that season of testing and during that time of trouble.
Amen. Daniel, you talked about prayer. We've got a couple of minutes left in the broadcast. You brought up True News, and I'm a friend of Rick Wiles. At least I've met him cordially, been on his program a number of times, met him down in Vero Beach for a prophetic meeting. I like Rick. I've been watching Edward Zoll and Doc Burkhart, you know, a long time ago. They're in trouble in this sense. Woe to those who burden themselves with Israel in those last days, right? There's something paraphrasing that. And let's pray. Let's pray. And I think I understand where Rick is coming from on True News. They have been, we need them, because they bring information to the body of Christ that is real. It is good. It is right. Now, they're stepping into something that the enemy may be guiding them into to bring, you know, some dismantling and to disconnect them from where God would intend them to be, like you said. So let's pray right now for Rick Wiles, Edward Zoll, and Doc Burkhart, that their hearts and minds will be led by the Holy Spirit of the living God to not touch something that is, you know, designed by God, because when we start looking in that direction, things are not going to happen. So, Father, in the name of Jesus,
yes
Daniel,
Lord,
and I and our listening audience, we pray right now for True News. We pray for Doc Burkhart, Rick Wiles, Edward Zoll, and that whole ministry team, that humility and grace and mercy would be upon them. I know they've heard things while they were in Israel. They saw things that has led them in the direction they're in. But Lord, keep them from sinning against you, for touching something that is just not understandable at this time, and keep them going in the right direction. We pray for their ministry in Jesus' name, and for their hearts and their minds, that they would not get themselves into a war unnecessarily in Jesus' name that would bring disruption to the ministry you gave them and that they've labored to build. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Daniel Seckham, we've simply run out of time, my dear brother. We love you, appreciate you always. Can't wait for your book to get out so we can promote it. We know you're coming back to the U.S. in August. We need to talk about that as well. Shalom.
Shalom, brother.
All right. God bless. Daniel Seckham joining us from Australia today. What a great broadcast. And we are going to be running over in 1 hour to the KERM radio station. Remember, right now on the Omega Radio Network at www.omegaradio.org, Patricia Joy Xavier is leading a roundtable discussion. You're not going to want to miss it. That's happening right now. We'll see you tomorrow. God bless.